Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you here this morning. Would you please open in your Bibles to the letter of 1 John? Looking at the letter of 1 John this morning. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. First John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you so dearly for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We thank you, Lord, that you have given it to us as a means to grow. You strengthen our faith. You encourage our faith and conform us more to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, through its reading and through the preaching of it. Father God, we pray you would do that today. Lord, that you would use your word to make us more like Christ. Father, I pray that you would soften our hearts as was prayed earlier, that we would be attentive to your word. I pray you would take away all the distractions that are around us, the distractions of this life and of the past week and of the upcoming week, and that you would help us to focus on your Son and focus on the way we live for him. Father God, I pray that you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, have you ever wondered if someone who claims to be a Christian yet doesn't really walk as you think he ought to walk, doesn't really demonstrate what a Christian ought to be, is really a Christian? Have you ever wondered to yourself, am I really a Christian? I know that I sin every day in thought, word, and deed. Am I a Christian? There are several reasons you may ask yourself these questions. And two of these reasons are the same reasons that John's sheep were asking these questions. And the first is that they look at the other people around them who claim to be a Christian and see the sin in them, and they begin to think, that's not what a Christian is supposed to look like. That's not what John said a community of faith is supposed to be like. And perhaps you feel the same way. Perhaps you see the same things. And Christians in church or in the broader evangelical church, you think to yourself, you know what? That's not what the Bible says a Christian is supposed to be. Or perhaps you may be questioning your own fellowship with God because, like John's sheep, they begin to see the Christians around them and see that they are more gracious and forgiving to what you think to be sin. And these other people are saying, no, that's not sin. You can't be so hard on them. You can't call that sin. And you begin to think to yourself, well, maybe I'm not like God. You know, they say God is a gracious and forgiving God. And, you know, I'm taking a hard stance on this. I'm saying this is sin. Maybe I need to lighten up. Maybe I'm not really a Christian. Maybe I'm not gracious and forgiving like our God is. And these were some of the reasons that John's sheep were doubting their assurance. You see, they were confused about what a true Christian looked like. There were false teachers at that time claiming to be Christians, and yet they would live their lives in sinful ways. They believed the bodies that they had were evil. And it didn't matter what they did with their physical flesh. They believed that their souls were pure and spotless, undefiled and sinless before God. And so long as they kept their souls pure, they could do whatever they wanted with their bodies. And this was really confusing these new Christians John was writing to. So how do you know what a true Christian looks like? How do you know whether you have fellowship with God? Well, John wrote this section of his epistle that you may know, to reassure you and his readers, that you may know you walk in the light by living a life of repentance and faith. You may know you walk in the light by living a life of repentance and faith. And the message John wants to declare to you this morning is the first thing that he says is that God is light. Look at verse 5 with me. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. John begins by expressing the character of God by using the idea of light. And in doing so, he lays the groundwork or foundation for the next several verses. In both the Old and New Testament, the idea of light and darkness, the contrasting ideas, are used extensively. They're used to show the difference or the contrary nature between complete opposites, like good and evil, between truth and falsehood, openness and secrecy, God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. What John desires to express is that God is light and that God is pure and holy, and that none of the characteristics of darkness, none of the things that darkness represent, reside in him at all. That's why John repeats himself by using the negative phrase. He says, God is light, but then he says, in him is no darkness found at all. There was no evil in God, no falsehood. God does not lie. He is completely righteous and completely good. Just think for a moment about what light is. Can you imagine any darkness and light at all? See, you can't. Light and darkness cannot exist at the same time and in the same place, because darkness is the absence of light. And where light is, darkness cannot be. And this is the way it is with God. There is no darkness in him because he is full of light. He is light. And this is what God desires for his people, that they walk in the light as he is in the light. God desires you to be holy as he himself is holy, to be good as he himself is good, to be pure and righteous as he himself is pure and righteous. Just like God has no spots of filth or hypocrisy or anything perverted in him, he desires you to be clean and truthful and walking honorably before him. But during John's time when he wrote this letter, and even today, there were people who claimed to walk in the light, but their deeds didn't reflect the light. There were and are people today who claim to be Christians, but it's hard to tell whether they really are. And there were and are people who don't claim to be Christians, but seem like really good people. This can be really confusing, and certainly was for John's sheep. They were wondering whether there was such a thing as a bad believer or a good unbeliever, whether there was such a thing as a carnal Christian or a holy pagan, whether an unbeliever, if he's a really nice guy, can be in some sort of fellowship with God, and whether a believer, if he sins or does something wrong, if he can lose some sort of fellowship with God. John wants you to know that this isn't the case, because either you have fellowship with God or you do not. Either you walk in the light or in the darkness. Look at what he says in verses 6 and 7. Look at these two positions. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. John is trying to make it clear in these passages that there's only two types of people in the world: those who walk in the darkness and those who walk in the light. Those who walk in the darkness are seen in verse 6, those in the light in verse 7. There is no middle ground. There's no fence riding here. There's no jumping back and forth between the two. There's either a sheep or a goat, wheat or tare, believer or unbeliever. John's words accord well with those of Christ's. You may remember Jesus saying in Matthew 12:30, "He who is not with me is against me." John does not want his people to be confused about those who are spreading false teaching. You see, the heretics that John was fighting against still claimed to be Christians and that they were still a part of Christ's church. And John's sheep were getting confused about who was really in the faith and who was out of it. John's sheep needed guidance on how to distinguish what a true believer was between a false believer. They needed help picking out the wolves from among the sheep, because these teachers, these heretics, were still claiming to be sheep. And yet they're all the while they were wolves. John wants to tell you and tell them that you can't be a false teacher and be a Christian at the same time. You cannot be a heretic, a wolf, and be a Christian at the same time. There's no in between. It's as if John's talking about a light switch. A light switch is either on or off. There's no dimmer switch in Christianity. And likewise, either you walk in the light or you walk in the darkness. There's no in between. So I ask, where are you today? Where are you walking today? Are you walking in the darkness or in the light? Are you for Christ or against him? This is the burden of this passage. John is trying to say to you today that you can't be a Christian and a non-Christian at the same time. You cannot say that you're in the light and yet still walk in the darkness. Because John's words in verse 6 are clear. If you say that you have fellowship with God yet walk in the darkness, you lie and do not practice the truth. But if you do indeed walk in the light as Christ is in the light, you can say with a clear conscience and full assurance that, yes, I am in the light. I have fellowship with God. John wants you to realize that you can identify where it is that you walk. You can know for sure whether you're in the darkness or in the light. And this he goes on to explain in the next several verses. It begins in verse 6 by saying, those who walk in the darkness suppress the truth. We see that in verses 6, 8, and 10. Look at those verses with me. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. In verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. In verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. In the section that we're looking at in John, he goes back and forth between what it looks like to be someone walking in the darkness and someone walking in the light. And verses 6, 8, and 10 give the characteristics of those who are walking in the darkness. And the common theme in all three of these verses in 6, 8, and 10 is the suppression of the truth, the rejection of the truth that God has declared, even the absence of the truth. This is similar to what Paul was saying in Romans 1, 18 through 20, when he says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Because what may be known about God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What Paul is saying here is that since the creation of the world, every man has known that God is light, that God is pure, and that he is holy. And whether they admit it or not, they know. They know that they have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's what John's trying to say in verse 6, that we lie and do not practice the truth whenever we reject that, whenever we deny the truth. Then he goes on to say in verse 8 that we deceive ourselves in the truth, that is, Christ is not in us, whenever we suppress it, whenever we say that we do not sin, whenever we say that the things we do are not sinful. And in verse 10, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us, meaning that we call God a liar when he tells us the truth about our sin, and we deny it because we don't want to hear it. It would be like a man who goes to the doctor and finds out that he is diagnosed with a very serious form of cancer and that he's dying. And because he doesn't want to hear it, he denies what the doctor says. He says, no, you're lying. that's not true. I don't have cancer. I'm fine. But then the doctor says, no, see, here's the evidence. See, here's the CAT scan, the MRIs. See, it's true. The man says, no, it's not true. And he runs out of the doctor's office denying that he has cancer, denying what the doctor has said, all the while the cancer is eating away at his inside. That is what John is saying about these false teachers, these false Christians. They claim that they have no sin, verse 8. They claim that they've never sinned, in verse 10. And John is saying that they lie and do not practice the truth because God has clearly revealed the truth to them. He's revealed it to them in creation, and he's revealed it to them by his word. John spoke the truth in that day, and his truth still stands in his holy word for us today. God is holy and man is sinful. And is this not what's happening today? People rejecting the truth. Individuals, churches, and denominations claiming that what God calls sin isn't sin at all. That it's okay to be gay. Ordaining homosexual elders or bishops in their episcopacy. Churches which tolerate adultery or cohabitation before marriage as if it's not a big deal. Or how about men and women who are under church discipline all the while denying that they've done anything wrong? Living in unrepentance, perhaps even saying that church doesn't know what it's talking about. They're in the wrong, not me. Or these other churches saying, well, those conservative denominations, those conservative churches, all they're trying to do is point out sin in people's lives, making them feel bad, discouraging them. They need to be more forgiving. John is saying that these churches and these people who say they have fellowship with God lie and do not practice the truth. They deceive themselves and they make God a liar. And their word, the word of God, is not in them. But it's easy to point fingers, isn't it? It's easy to say, wow, look at how messed up they are. Look at the sinful lives they're living. Look at the things that they're doing. Don't they realize that sin? How could they do that? But I ask, what about you? What about me? What does your life look like? Do you say you have fellowship with God, but then lust after another man or woman? Perhaps a neighbor of yours, a co-worker, someone on the computer screen? Do you say that you have fellowship with God, that you haven't sinned whenever you tell a teeny tiny little white lie to your husband or wife? You say you have fellowship with God when you fudge on your taxes a little bit or borrow something with no intention to return it. Do you say you have fellowship with God when you allow anger to grip you when somebody else wrongs you and all you can think is malicious thoughts against them? Do you get jealous when someone you know gets something you really want? Or children, do you disrespect your parents? Adults, do you disrespect those who are in authority over you? Isn't this claiming to be in the light and yet walking in darkness? You're probably thinking, oh, wait a minute, George. Who do you think you are? A young seminarian coming in here. Aren't you supposed to be candidating? Why are you telling me these things? I came to church today to be encouraged, to hear the good news, to be uplifted, to have my faith encouraged. And what you've just told me that I'm not no different than these false teachers. Yes, I claim to be a Christian, but do I still walk in the darkness? What about the good news? I tell you, the good news isn't good news until you've heard the bad news. And that's the bad news. We do still sin every day in thought, word, and deed, but there's a difference. You do still commit sin, but you do not walk in darkness if you truly believe in Jesus Christ. Neither John nor I want you to be discouraged today. And though you do commit deeds of darkness while claiming to be in the light, there is a difference between your life and the life of a false Christian. You see, the false Christian continues to walk in darkness because he knows he is sinful. before, we said that God is light, and one of the characteristics of light is that it exposes what's in the darkness. And in order to see this more clearly, please turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 3. You see, the Apostle John was a good disciple of Christ and learned well from him. He learned well to listen to his master. And the things John writes in his letter is just an unpacking or re-explanation of what Christ had said. So look at John chapter 3, verse 19 through 20. It says this, "And this is the condemnation," or this is the judgment, this is the evaluation, "that light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light." Why? "Because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light because his deeds, lest his deeds should be exposed." How many of you have ever seen cockroaches? When the lights are off, they come out, they scurry around, and they do their thing. But whenever you come along and turn on the light, what happens? They scatter. They disappear. They run for their lives. Why? It's survival. They don't want to be exposed. They know that if they're caught, they're going to be killed. It's the same way it is with the unbeliever. The same way it is with the false Christian. When the light shines on them, they run. They run for the darkness because they don't want the sin in their lives, which they know is there, to come to the surface. They don't want to have to put to death the old man. They don't want to die. They love the life that they're living. But this is what happens. The light shines on them and they run. They run for the darkness, avoiding the light. This is what characterizes the unbeliever. This is what characterizes the false Christian. But brothers and sisters, does this characterize you? Just think about your life for a moment. What do you do whenever you see the light has been turned on and your sin is exposed? When you read your Bible and get convicted, do you close it up and walk away because you don't want to feel bad? When you find yourself guilty during a sermon, do you just tune out because you don't want to admit that it's true? Because you don't want to hear it. When a friend approaches you and points out the sin in your life, do you just shut them out because you don't want to have a bad relationship with them? Because you don't want to feel wounded? Or when you're all alone and your conscience condemns you for the sin you've just committed, do you turn off your conscience and turn on the TV, trying to drown out that loud screaming voice in your own heart? I tell you, and John is telling you, that if the light shines on you and the truth convicts you and you turn and continue to walk in darkness and hide from the light while still claiming to be a Christian, you lie and do not practice the truth. But I want you to know that you do not have to remain in the darkness. If this describes you today, there is hope that you can walk in the light. You can walk in the light if you repent and believe in Jesus Christ. Look at verses 7 and 9. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You see, just as verses 6, 8, and 10 go together to describe those who walk in darkness, verses 7 and 9 go together to describe those who walk in the light, who are in the light. John is telling his readers, and he's telling you, that there is hope for you, and there's hope for those who are lost in the darkness. There is hope for you if you find yourself exposed by the light. All you have to do is turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ. Faith and repentance is your only hope of salvation. Not that faith and repentance are a work, but they look to Jesus Christ, who is completely sufficient for your salvation. He's given you his righteousness and he's taken away your sin. This will save you. It will bring you into the light and into fellowship with God. But John is also saying that repentance and faith is what characterizes a true believer. When John says, walk in the light in verse 7, he does not mean that we don't sin. But when we do sin, we don't try to hide it from God. But we respond with repentance and faith, trusting that we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the difference between the false Christian and the true Christian. The false Christian sees the light and runs from it, runs into the darkness, continues to commit sins to drown out his conscience. The true Christian, upon seeing the light shine upon his sin, turns and walks into the light, straight into it, seeking Jesus Christ, knowing that he is safe in the blood of the Lamb. Instead of running from the doctor who just diagnosed you with cancer and denying it, you admit your broken condition before him and say, help me. You're the only one who can heal me. And this is exactly what John is trying to point out in this passage, that the true believer will turn to Christ when confronted with his sin. He will recognize his broken position before God, and instead of running away, he turns to Christ as the only one who can heal him. So I ask you again, where are you today? When you sin, where do you run? What do you do? Brothers and sisters, turn from your sin. Repent and believe the gospel. Only repentance and belief in the gospel can assure you of your position before God. So be encouraged then if you find the light is shined on you. Be encouraged when you begin to seek God's face after you're convicted of your sin, knowing that you are doing, the Spirit is moving you to repentance and faith. So walk in the light, repent and believe, and enjoy the benefits of walking in the light. Now, what are the benefits of walking in the light? Well, John says in verse 7 that when you walk in the light, you have fellowship with the church and that you can be assured of your salvation. Look at verse 7 again with me. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. First, John points out that we experience fellowship with one another when we walk in the light. If we hide our sins or claim that what we're doing isn't sinful, even when the Bible says that it is, we cause division. Just think about how there the churches out there who are calling evil good and not calling sin what it is, how we in good conscience cannot have fellowship with them because of the stances they take on their sin. And even Paul tells the churches that if there are those who are claiming to be Christians yet are living lives of unrepentant sin, don't eat with these people. But men and women who live according to the word of God live true lives of repentance and faith, cultivate gospel fellowship because they truly understand the depths of their own sin and the power of Christ to save them. They understand what it is to experience salvation and grace, and they are all the more willing to extend it to one another. And they call one another to do the same. But in this passage also, John is trying to say that when you walk in the light, you may be assured of your salvation. Look at the verse again. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. As was said earlier, when you walk in the light, you can't help but see that you fall short of the glory of God. And you continually need to rely on his grace. Honestly, that's the best place to be. Instead of running from it and trying to hide from it, just seeing it. And repenting and believing and resting in Christ. And when you do that, John assures you that the blood of Christ is covering your sin. Not that the faith and repentance gains merit for you so that God will say, oh, well, I guess I have to do it again. I guess I have to recover the sin he's just committed. No, it's all gone. Know that when you live a life of repentance and faith, your sin has already been forgiven. This is the evidence. This is the sign that your sin is forgiven. So enjoy the fellowship with Christ's church that repentance and faith afford you. Recognize that the others around you, like you, are sinners saved by grace. And forgive them just as Christ has forgiven you. and enjoy the full assurance of pardon you have through the promise of God in Jesus Christ, that if you repent and believe, that the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. So where then does this leave us? Can we have assurance of our salvation? Do we know we have fellowship with God? Well, we've seen in this section of John's epistle that God is light. And because he is light, his holiness shines on everyone, exposing their true condition. We've seen that there can be only two types of people in this world, either the Christian or the non-Christian, the wolf or the sheep. And we've seen that the responses of each are different when the light of God's truth shines on them. The false Christian runs to darkness, but the true Christian runs to light. So this brings us to the ultimate question of this section in John. Can we know whether we have fellowship with God? Can you know whether you have fellowship with God? You can. You can know. You know you have fellowship with God because John's saying, look at what happens when the light shines on you. The false Christian runs away, but you run to Christ. So where are you running? Have you been running from the light? Are you ashamed of your sin and you fear the judgment that you're under because of it? Have you been trying to hide in the darkness? Well, God's call to you today is this. Repent and believe the gospel. Know that God has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to merit salvation for sinners. And he has accomplished this through his life, death, and resurrection from the dead. And that if you believe in him, if you confess your sins and believe in him, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What a beautiful promise. So if you're not walking in the light today, repent and believe the gospel. But if you are walking in the light today and you see that the light of God's word has shined on you and convicted you of your sin, God's call to you is the same. Repent and believe the gospel. Because when you do this, you can have full assurance of God's fatherly pleasure upon you. You can have full assurance of your salvation. Because this is the sign that you have been cleansed from all of your sin by the blood of the Lamb. So know that you walk in the light by living a life of repentance and faith. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have not left us in our sin. Lord, that you have raised us up from the pit and set us on the rock to stand, on the rock, Jesus Christ. We thank you so much, Lord, that we didn't save ourselves, that we couldn't save ourselves, but that we looked to you by your grace. Father God, we thank you that you worked on our hearts. You've stirred up repentance and faith in our hearts that we could look to our only hope of salvation in Jesus Christ. That we realized that our works were filthy rags and that we needed the righteousness of Jesus Christ to cover us. And that our sin needed punishment and that you laid it all upon him and punished your Son for us. Father God, we thank you so much that we can be assured even now that we have fellowship with you, because the same act that brought us to salvation, repentance and faith, is the same acts that characterize us now. Father God, make us a people of repentance and faith. Cause us to walk according to your law, and when we fall short, help us to turn back to you quickly. We love you, Father. We love you because of Jesus Christ. And you love us because of Jesus Christ. We pray all these things in his precious name. Amen. Well, let's confess our sin before God and ask for his forgiveness as we stand and sing together Psalm 51, Selection A.